Well, we would thank God for those good days for her. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. How old is Miss Kelly? 90,
she'll be
91 in October. 91. Praise the Lord for that. God likes her. Anybody else got a praise tonight? We had one adult. Praise the Lord. God is good. Brother Celon, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else got something you're grateful for today? Brother Jeff? Amen. Well, the Bible says cast all your cares upon him. So can you cast a credit card dispute upon the Lord? Indeed you can. And praise the Lord, when it works out favorably, we give God credit for that. Does anybody else want to give the Lord thanks today? All right, announcements. I got a couple for you. There is no choir practice this Sunday morning. No choir practice this Sunday morning. Brother Allen will not be here this Sunday, and so he has asked the young people to take over. So you got a surprise youth service coming. The young people are going to sing that day, and I'm particular to them, but I think they always did a great job, and they work so hard on those songs. And we hope to be a blessing to you this Sunday, and we're grateful for the chance. One thing I will say about Brother Justin, of the many wonderful things, he was so good that he gave Sunday all-day youth service. You know, we got to do Sunday morning, Sunday night, and we never got to do that before, and we really enjoyed that. And so we're so grateful for the church believing in us and giving these kids this opportunity again, and they're looking forward to it and working hard on their songs. Another announcement is next Sunday, do I have this right, Darlene? Calvary Children's Home will be gone. We're going to be doing church on the beach in Florida. So that's where we, is that not next Sunday? This coming Sunday, we're here, and that's the youth service. The next one is what I'm talking about. The one after that, the 21st, we will be on the road, and we won't be here. So the young people will be away that day, but we look forward to coming back to you guys, and we're grateful for that. And then I had one more announcement. I forget what it was. Anybody can remember it? Somebody want to say something about Christmas child boxes or anything? Go ahead. Yes, ma'am. Okay. All right. So for our prayer request, let's wait on Charlie Kirk. We'll do that right before we pray. I want to talk about that young man tonight for just a few seconds. But does anybody else have a prayer request? You need some help from the Lord? Go ahead. Miss Darlene? Okay. Jamez? We will ask God to help your family. Carter? For sure. We will. I love you guys praying for your parents. Presley? Okay. I got you. Go ahead. I'm
good. Praying for my mom's side of the family, my cousin that's same age as I am. Last Friday they called us and they found her 44-year-old son deceased.
Okay. Miss Lee Allen? Okay. Jalen? Okay. Tansy? Whose? Okay, yeah, we're going to get there. Natalia? Cadence? Okay. Melita? Okay. Jalen? Miss Darlene?
There's a friend at the children's home, and this is somebody that's a friend of hers and their family. It's a little girl named Sally, and she's like 9, 10 months old, and she's got a tumor. And they went in and did the first scan or whatever, and then when they went back to do the next one, not very long, it has almost doubled. So it's very aggressively growing. This is a very young child.
Remind me her name?
Her name is Sally.
Sally. Well, go ahead. Yeah, he said we're going to pray for our nation. Yeah, you're right. Well, he said, pray for our nation. You know, our country's just in a rough position spiritually. In so many ways, it really is. And today was one of the saddest days of my life. I'll just be honest with you. Those of you who don't know who Charlie Kirk is, Charlie Kirk was a 31-year-old man who, when he was 18 years old, he started a movement called Turning Point USA. And he was a great, great speaker for Christianity and conservative values. He was one of the only public voices. He would go on college campuses and have thousands. He literally had millions of followers. And I'm not talking about millions of people who clicked, but who rooted for him and who would attend his rallies. And any college campus he would go to, he'd have thousands of people gather, and he'd put up a sign and say, "Prove me wrong." And these folks would come up and they would just debate conservative ideas. For the first time in my life, I'm going to tell you something true. For the very first time in my life, marriage, or young men wanting to be married and to raise their families, the desire for that for the very first time in my life is on the rise. And the reason for that is a guy named Charlie Kirk, because he went around talking to young men about how the happiest men in the world are the men who take care of their families. They've done study after study. Men who provide and take care of their families are the happiest men in the world. And he would promote that. And today he was sitting at one of those events and somebody shot him in the neck and killed him. And he was, you know, it's a horror. It'll be all over the news for days and days and days. There are many people who credit him with swaying the last election. For certain, they're pretty sure he was the reason that Donald Trump won Arizona. But he was a voice that would go into Cambridge University. Literally, there are videos of him where he would argue with the best and the brightest from the other side. He read over 100 books a year. He was a savant. And he would just say, "You tell me why you believe what you believe, and I'm going to tell you why I believe what I believe." And he was so influential because the truth is always good. He was the leading voice in America against the trans movement. He would stand up there and say, "You can masquerade as the other gender, but that does not make you the other gender." He was just a staggering voice for truth. And probably, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this, by the way, I was told Elon how sad it was, and he said, "I listened to him every day on the way to work." You know, young people were drawn to this guy. And probably I'm going to say this, I think that he was the most positive Christian voice since Billy Graham in America, because he wasn't in churches, he was in universities telling the difference that Jesus Christ could make. Randy, you got that video?
You a Christian, by any chance?
Very, very much so.
Like, why is that exactly?
Oh, Jesus saved my life. I'm a sinner, gave my life to Christ, most important decision I ever made.
So you believe the Bible is real?
Yes, like, I believe the Bible is true and real.
Yeah. Why is that?
Well, I could give you the technical answer. There's never been an archaeological discovery that has contradicted the truth of the Bible. And then, of course, the wisdom. There is not a truth of the Bible that if you apply to your life does not improve dramatically.
Amen.
And then finally, we have the most accurate and transparent, historically robust account that one can have of the most important figure ever to live in the history of the world, Jesus of Nazareth. And the resurrection is the pinpoint of my belief that Jesus did rise from the grave so that we may live.
What makes Christian mythology real?
So that's not mythology, but that is theology. If Genesis 1:1 and the resurrection is true, anything in the Bible is possible. You're looking at the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle is creation. And then the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. And I say, how do you know that Jesus rose from the dead? Well, show me another historical piece of a story where so many people willingly died a brutal death for a lie. Every single person around him had everything to lose, and yet they went to the absolute death, from Paul to Peter to the half-brother of James, saying that Jesus is Lord, Jesus rose from the dead. Not to mention, if you were going to fake a story, you would not use female witnesses in the ancient world. In the scriptures, it said that the women were the first one to see Jesus Christ. If you're trying to fake a story, you would never do that. Not to mention the 500 people that saw Jesus after he rose from the dead, and then the later church that lived under persecution, under the belief that Jesus Christ...
Well, that video just went on to explain more and more of why he believed in Jesus. And I got to be honest with you, he's the first martyr in America in many, many years. He was killed for telling the truth. He was killed for just saying what's true on college campuses, and somebody shot him and killed him today at 31 years old. He has a one-year-old child and a three-year-old child. He married a former Miss Arizona, just a beautiful family, and it's a tragedy. Dr. Eric Capace put out today that all death can do is escort us to Jesus. Aren't you thankful for that? That's all that death can do. And Mr. Charlie Kirk is no doubt with Jesus, but it is a great void in our country. There's not another young voice like him. He was my next pick for who I would love to be the president of the United States, but he was only 31 years old. He wasn't even old enough to be president of the United States yet. He still had one more cycle to go. And people would say to him, Charlie, you got millions of followers. Why don't you run for Senate? You know what he would say? He'd say, I would lose so much influence if I was just a senator. If I was just a senator, I couldn't help shape the nation and couldn't lead people into truth and goodness. And boy, what a tragedy today. So I'm going to ask us to pray for him today. Is there anybody that tonight that feels like, not for him, but for his family, the tragedy lost, all the various different prayer requests? Miss Darlene mentioned Sally, but surely his family could use some compassion. Would anybody like to pray for us tonight as we get ready to do that? I don't want to always take the spotlight. Brother Don, would you pray for us tonight? Well, just before Brother Jeff comes, let me say, what this young man's death reminds us of tonight, though, is that we got to know that we know that we know Jesus Christ is our Savior. Don't you know the day you die, you're going to want somebody to have a tape of you saying that right there? I mean, that you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you don't know that, the reason you think you're going to be alive tomorrow is because for 15 or 50 or 80 years, you've woke up every single time, right? I mean, I promise you, I fall into the same trap. For 48 straight years, I've woke up every single day, but we have no idea. That young man stepped to that podium today, having the time of his life, sharing. They were throwing frisbees to the crowd, and he was answering another thing about transgender to that group of people. His three-year-old daughter was 10 feet from him. His wife was in the crowd, right? He had not a clue that moment was going to be his last. Do you know that Jesus Christ is your Savior? These moments call us to make sure that we have that right. And then secondly, if you do know that Jesus Christ is your Savior, are you right with him? Is your heart right with him? Are you lined up? You don't got something in your life that's pushing him away? Because today could be the day that we get there. And I know that you're like me. You want to step into God's presence completely right with God. One thing Justin Hales had perfectly right, 100%, perfectly right. Be repented up to date. That was a great statement he used to say. And that's a great thing for us tonight. Are our hearts clean tonight to be able to hear from the Lord? If not, could you bow your head while Jeff begins to sing? And then we'll get right into the lesson. We're going to look at Joseph again tonight.
What are we singing?
Following what Brother Brian just said, I want to make sure that we can say, I feel like traveling on. Fell right into the my heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. So be sure you know you're going to your to the heavenly home.
And if not, get it right tonight.
That's right. And it's up there. My head. Oh, everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Stand up. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. No pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. In glittering towers the sun shine. Feel like traveling on. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. The Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on. Until that blessed home I see, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. The Lord has been so kind and fair. I feel like traveling on.
Well, if you don't have your Bible, I have passed out a sheet. You know we're going to be in Genesis chapter number 39. My friend Darlene taught me something as we shift our hearts from that somber story. Tell me if you think she's right about this. She said as we got social media, we became so aware of all that's going on in the world. And if we're not careful, we can just hear about every negative story that's out there. All of the sick children, all of the world's, all of the chaos. And I don't know that our hearts are built to hold it. I really just don't know. Before all of this, social media and internet and whatnot, there would be upsets and difficulties and deaths on the other side of the world that we would know nothing about. But now they're all right in our face. And so this generation, more than any other, needs to learn that we can cast those things to the Lord. That we can just say, Lord, this is too big for me. I don't understand the death of Charlie Kirk, but I will tell you something. It doesn't make God one bit less God, does it? Does it weaken God that Charlie Kirk died? It was the Lord's provision that God elevated that young man and gave him 13 years. What a blessed life he has. Beautiful kids. I mean, so good. The secret to death is will we be grateful that for the time we had or bitter for the time we lost? And if we choose to be grateful for the time we had, we're right where God wants us to be, because the Bible says in everything give thanks. How can you give thanks for the death of a 31-year-old superstar? You just say, God, thank you for the gift you gave us, right? Once we got to see a guy who you could really elevate if he would wholly walk with you, and it was precious what that young man did. He's like all of us. He wasn't perfect, but a great voice for truth. And so with those things let aside, let's jump back into the story of Joseph, because God wants you to learn this. I promise you, I don't ever get up and just say, hey, here's what we're going to talk about. The Lord really put this in our path today, and as I have studied it bit by bit for the next week, I mean, the Holy Spirit has met me, and it really energized my heart about some passages. So can we do that? And as you look into at Genesis chapter number 39, you would understand that heretofore and really always, we get to take a view of Joseph's life from 30,000 feet. Do you know what I mean by that? Do you know what I mean by that? From an airplane, you can see the whole picture, right? And do you remember that song they sung on Sunday, this past Sunday, where they said, God sees your storm? Does anybody remember what the other part was? From the other side. You know what that means, young people? God already knows that your storm is going to shake you and it's going to scare you and it's going to like make you fret. But he also understands the goodness that's going to come out of that, that he's going to grow you and strengthen you and how you're going to be so much better on the other side of that. And in this way, we are like God because we can look at Joseph's story, Brother Jeff, and we can say, keep walking with God. It's going to be so good for you. God's going to work it out for your good. We know the end of the story, don't we? Keep walking with God, because if you do, Joseph, oh my goodness, what God's going to do for you. In the same way, God looks at your story and knows the other side and has that heart. Keep walking with God. Don't give up in this season of your life walking with God. It is so critical. The season that you are in right now, by the end of this message, I hope to have you totally convinced of that. You cannot take this season of your life off with the Lord. And Joseph is not doing that. He's walking with God. And we know by the end of his life, who does he look like? He looks just like Jesus. I mean, truly, he looks just like Jesus. But can I tell you something? Because he is walking with God, he already looks like Jesus right where he is. In the part of the story that we're in, twice he is going to pay for this, for somebody else's sin. Who else paid for somebody else's sin? It was his brother's hate and their rage and their jealousy, and Joseph's the one paying for it by being in slavery. And by the end of this story tonight, it was the Potiphar's wife's lust and her lies and her manipulation, and Joseph's going to be paying for that as well. He's paying for her sin. I hope sometime tonight, Max, you can find yourself in Joseph's story. You know what the Bible tells us about Joseph? He's good looking. I want to find myself in that part of the story. Melina tells me I'm good looking, right? He's also righteous, but you know who else you should find yourself in? You should also find yourself in his brother's part of the story. You are also have some of Potiphar's wife in you because somebody else had to pay for your sins. Joseph looks just like Jesus because he's walking with God, not just in the end, but in the beginning, and he's doing such a great job. Well, the last thing that we learned, Joseph was thrown into a pit, right? He was sold to the Ishmaelites, and the Ishmaelites took off for them. We're going to preach our way through Genesis chapter 39, verse number 1. Will you get them on the board, please? Genesis 39, verse number 1. And the Bible says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard. That's an important part. He was a leader in Pharaoh's secret police, some say, army, others say, but certainly part of the military operation there. An Egyptian bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down hither. Did you notice the word brought is in that verse twice? Twice it says he is brought. Here's what I want you to get about that, Carter. He had nothing to do with this, right? He didn't travel this direction. He was carried here against his will, delivered somewhere. He totally had none of his effort, none of his resistance had anything to do with it. He was just dropped off. But because William, he's walking with God, he gets dropped off in the perfect spot, right? God has dropped him off right in the perfect spot. Is there anybody here today that would testify to the young people or a young person that say, hey, God involved himself in your life and he dropped you off. He put you in a position you had nothing to do with it, but it was just exactly the right spot. I'll give you an example. I grew up in a family that was chaos. My parents fought like crazy. I remember my mom throwing refrigerator magnets at my dad and my dad blocking them with the thing. My mother one time hit me with a melon. It's a true story. She threw a melon, hit me in the head, and the only thing she apologized for though was that it hit me in the head. And my parents split up more times than I can count. And they finally divorced after 30 years of fighting and fighting and fighting. I grew up in chaos. Melita, on the other hand, grew up in like Leave It to Beaver. How many of you guys knew Charles Sprayberry? Did you know Charles Sprayberry? Loved guy. I mean, the school up the road for 30 years gave out a Charles Sprayberry award for the highest character, right? And we'd get to go see that thing. I tell you, Divine, truly, the year before they stopped giving that award out because the kids didn't know who Charles Sprayberry was anymore, we were in West Virginia, true story, we were in West Virginia skiing, And we sat beside a family who came over and said, "Hey, who are these kids you're with? They're so well-mannered." And we said, "Hey, we're with Calvary Children's Home." And we began to talk. And they said, "My daughter goes to Still Elementary, and she just won the Charles Sprayberry Award." She said that to my wife. Do you think that was an accident? But what I'm saying to you, I'm born in a family of chaos. She's born in a family that's like, leave it to Beaver. Precious, precious, precious. Miss Sprayberry used to come up to me and say, "Oh, I got another prayer answered in my prayer journal. I got another prayer answered in my prayer journal." Precious, precious woman. I used to smuggle her Minute Maid oranges, and I would say, "Who's your favorite son-in-law?" Right? Divine, divine. Look what God chose to do with my life, right? Look what God chose to do with mine and Melita's life. We love kids. By the way, Melita, for all the goodness in her family, experienced great tragedy. She lost her dad when she was 17 years old. I experienced chaos. We love kids who've had a few bumps in the road. It's just our heart. God worked it out. When I was 19 years old, I said to God, "God, I don't know where you want me to go to church." I mean, I was down. I'm talking about down, down, down. I got dressed for church, had no idea where he wanted me to go. "God, where do you want me to go to church?" And he told me to go to Calvary Baptist Church. I knew nothing, absolutely nothing. But God dropped me off in just the place that I needed to be, just the spot. Anybody think, "Hey, I look back, had nothing to do with it, but God orchestrated something good in my life"? Can anybody share a testimony tonight? Across the room. Brother Ceylon. Amen. 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 100% right. 100% right. Hey, what if I wasn't at the tree lot that day Megan Strange came by? You know what I mean? What if I wasn't there and had that conversation? Just, I had nothing to do with it. Just wandered down there to see my nephew. Couldn't claim any goodness of it at all. What if we hadn't been there when the Myers family came to see about putting a kid over there? I mean, just precious, the coincidences that you guys don't know all the story, but you can see the divine moving of God. Here's the point. Joseph is a guy who's walking with God. He gets brought somewhere that's good for him. Walk with God, you get dropped off where you're supposed to get dropped off. Wander and choose spots of your own that will not be so very good for you. Verse number 2, and the Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph, right there. Are there any more comforting words in all the scriptures? I mean, is there any more comforting words in the whole English language? How many of you have got a heart broke over Charlie Kirk tonight? I do, but aren't you thankful the Lord is with you? Aren't you thankful for a rod and a staff that comforts you, that God protects us? Aren't you thankful the end of that Psalms 23 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life? Goodness and mercy following after you? Are you serious? The one who the Lord is with? So comforting, so comforting. That word follow actually is the Hebrew, the word radaph. Does anybody know what that word means? Radaph, like R-A-W-D-A-P-H, but it might be spelled R-A-D-A-P-H. Radaph, it means vehemently pursue. When it says follow, surely goodness and mercy shall vehemently pursue me. Goodness and mercy are chasing after me because the Lord is with me. Joseph is a slave, but Willie, the Lord's with him. He's going to be okay. Joseph's been betrayed, but the Lord's with him. Joseph's been abandoned by the people he loves, but the Lord's with him. He's going to be okay. Next part of the verse says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Those two things go hand in hand. Those two things go hand in hand. Did you hear what Charlie Kirk says? He said in the very beginning of that video, try any of the ways of God and see if they don't radically benefit your life. Try any of the ways of God. Try forgiveness. Is it going to help you? Try faithfulness. Is it going to help you? Try hard work. Is it going to help you? Those two things go absolutely hand in hand. I believe this so much. You're going to frown on me in just a second. I believe this principle so much that if you would walk with God, He will strengthen your life. That where Psalms number 1 is concerned, I have offered the young people, any young person, $50 if they can memorize it. It can be memorized. I'll make the same offer to you. Anybody in this room, you memorize Psalms chapter number 1. It's 27 seconds long if you say it. I will give you $50 because it is so real and powerful in your life. And here's what that verse says. That verse says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And here it is. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall what? Prosper. Whatever he does shall prosper. Think about that phrase, his leaf shall not wither. Why on earth would the Bible say the tree planted by the rivers of water, the one who walks with God, his leaf would not wither? Do you know why that's true? Because when you are placed where God wants you to place, you have enough God flowing up and through your life that you are protected from the heat. Joseph is in big trouble from the world's perspective, but he's not going to get burned. He's going to get blessed. He's not going to get hurt. He's going to get helped. Are you following what I'm saying? His leaves aren't going to wither because he is connected to a powerful source that is working in his life. Walk with God. The Lord was with him, and he was what? Prosperous. I promise you these things are absolutely true. And I'm not talking about earthly riches, but you'll be a help to everybody in your life if you walk with God. The Bible says, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse number 3, this is so cool. I love to preach this point. And the Bible says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. You have an unbelieving Egyptian master who can see God is with this dude, right? I mean, he literally looks at him and goes, there's something different about him. He has help from another realm, if you will. When I come to this verse, Miss Andovy, here's the song that comes to my mind. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, are you with me there? I'm going to let it shine. Because God is working in his life, it's evident. Who among you, tell me this, who do you know that you literally can see God operating in their life? Can I give you a couple cool examples? Brantley got saved. When did you get saved? At a ski trip, so back in February. I'm not kidding you. I could see it in his eyes. Next day when I woke him up, there was a difference in his eyes. There was a softness in his response. His character shifted ever so slightly. I remember after I got saved, I told my dad a lie, and I turned around and I said to my dad, Dad, I don't know why I just lied to you. I'm sorry I did that. And he looked at me like I was an alien. He was like, what has happened to you? You know what? God was moving and God was working in my life. I'll tell you a true story. I've told you before that when CJ was in the children's home, he got out of the banks and I really prayed that God would turn him around. And God Almighty told me, I have this one. Look at his life, by the way. Look at what God's done in his life and connecting him to the mob, being a deacon here at the church. It is, his family's up here. His kid got saved. God has demonstrated, I have this one. But rewind a few years of his life, and CJ's 15 years old, and a ratty set of drums comes in. Just a ratty set of drums. I'm telling you, God donated to the children's home. And he's like, Uncle B, I want to play the drums. Well, I was like, dude, have you guys ever had somebody play the drums in your house? It's misery. It's suffering. I mean, it's horrible. And I was like, son, how about the trumpet? You know, something else. He looked over those big glasses he used to have, and he used to say, Uncle B, I want to play the drums because chicks dig the drums. True story. I was the best man in his wedding. He said that to me on the stage. Not kidding. I told you chicks dig the drums. But this is a true story. He starts playing that ratty set of drums. The children's home can take no credit for it whatsoever. Didn't give a single music lesson. I did transport him all over the world so he could play in those garage bands and whatnot. But he began to play the drums. And when he was 16 years old, out of nowhere, it has not happened since, nor had it happened before, a foundation randomly went down our list of kids and decided they're going to bless one of them and mailed him $1,000. And I remember being in the basement when he opened that up and it said, hey, we're just a foundation. We got your kids list. We randomly picked a child. We picked you. There's $1,000. And I was shocked by it. That has never happened before, not even anything close to that. And I was like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? And Steve Harper was on duty that day. And I was like, let me just think about that. And about an hour later, I called and I said, Steve, do not let him spend that money. He's going to need a car and he needs old of a. And Steve goes, ruh-roh. I was like, Steve, what have you done? He said, he talked me into it, and he bought this awesome set of drums. You know what I mean? He doubted the music store. You let him spend $1,000 on drums. And he did. And he played those drums, and he played those drums. And it just so happened that the Dean of Liberty University's son, Eric, who sang in our church in that band at one time, he came by and he heard CJ play and he said, you know what, I can take you on the road with me. CJ would call me from New York. He would call me from San Francisco. He would say, I've played with Toby Mac today or Chris Tomlin today. All through his college experience, he got all of those college experiences. And then Amanda fell in love with him and I said, you can't marry her till you're a senior. And he said, I want to marry her before she changes her mind, right? But God, I saw God on his life. CJ's not perfect, neither is Joseph, but I saw God moving in his life. And then later in life, when God said to me, I have this one, and I got to experience what God did in connecting him to the Moss family. Literally, do you see people in your life? Do you know somebody? Can somebody testify to that? Do you know somebody that when you watch their life, you literally see God moving pieces or God moving on behalf of them? Anybody in the room want to share something? Anybody? Melita? Yeah, a little favor of God, a little breath of God on him, no doubt about it. Anybody else? In some ways, I see that in many of you. I see that in your truthfulness. I see that in your kindness. You know, Mr. Don is always a blessing, bringing me something. I see that in Miss Yvonne's life. She will literally come to me and say, you're getting better, Brian. You're learning. You're growing, you know, and whatnot. I see it in Lee Ellen, who is just a servant. And by the way, Miss Lee Ellen, you're helping us being a servant. You're looking like Jesus when you do those things. But honestly, that's the way it's supposed to be. When we walk with God, others see something in us that they want, and it's God moving in us. Life. And this guy goes, I see God on this guy. And so he noticed what was happening. Verse number 4, the Bible says, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over the house, and all that he had put into his hand. I love this point also. He did something brilliant. Do you know what he did? He promoted godliness. Did you catch what I just said? He promoted somebody godly. And is that a good decision to elevate somebody godly in your life? Is that a good decision to take somebody godly and elevate them and put them in? Let me give you a lesson, girls, real quick. You know how badly you need to elevate godly in your life? If you're a girl and you're not married yet and you're thinking about getting married and there's one guy and he's real cute. And then another guy and he's a great earner. I mean, he can just smack down that money like that, or whatever he does. And then there's another one who's godly. Which one should you pick? Pick godly, because godly will affect all the aspects of your life. Brother Randy, do you have that other video?
In a very straightforward way, you should not be dating anybody that is not a Christian. We have New Testament verses that give specific commands. It says, do not be unequally yoked. That means tied together with unbelievers. Now, you may be going, oh, man, but I really like him, and it's really awesome, and he's so hot, okay? I always say the same thing. So is hell. You know, it's like you got to figure out which one you're going to go. Here's what you're afraid of. You're like, I'm afraid I'm going to get old and lonely and single. Listen, I've just seen this for this many years. You need to know this. The only thing worse than being lonely and single is being lonely and married. The only thing worse than being single is wishing you were. If you love Jesus and you're led by the Spirit of God and he doesn't love Jesus and he is not led by the Spirit of God, then think about this. At the deepest level of your heart and his heart, you want totally opposite things. You are moving in opposite directions. And if you marry that guy, you are marrying, or girl, you are marrying a problem that's going to pull your family apart in the future.
Amen.
You're worried about being lonely and single, you're going to end up in a spot where at the deepest level of your soul, you are lonely and married. You should not be dating anybody that does not have Christ-like character. So you shouldn't be dating anybody that is not a Christian. If I could go back and talk to your 21, 20, 22, 23 year old self, and I gave you this choice at age 21, you get a choice: $5 million cash, no taxes, or I can guarantee you get an excellent wife. Don't answer out loud. Which one would you choose? If you didn't go excellent wife, hold up 5 fingers, make a fist, punch yourself in the face. That's real dumb. Millions of dollars with a bad wife, you're going to have a bad life. Broke, hardworking, but broke, with an excellent wife, you're going to have an excellent life.
Amen. Hey, somebody prove him wrong. Somebody tell me he's wrong about that. You know you can't, because you know he is right spot on. A godly wife will be a blessing to you. You can look at that in every way. The verse that's on the bottom of your sheet says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the righteous come to power, good things come to all other people. What happens when we elevate somebody who's not a godly person as our very best friend? What happens when we elevate somebody to the best friend position who's not godly? Is that going to help us or is that going to hurt us? It's going to hurt us. What happens if we elevate somebody in our company that's not godly? Is that going to help us or is that going to hurt us? As we get ready to seek a pastor, what happens if we don't elevate somebody godly to be in position of authority? I promise you, that is going to hurt us. But the opposite is true. If we find that godly person, that's exactly who goes in that spot, because they will be a blessing and a help. And Potiphar has done something brilliant. He's realized God is helping him. I'm putting him at the top. And it is so good, because all the goodness of God begins to trickle down in the life of the people. Can you think of a time where you let an ungodly person have too prominent a role in your life? Anybody ever been married to an ungodly person? Did it hurt your life? Anybody had a friend that was wicked? I literally met with a young person today whose life is off the rails, and I said, take me to the genesis of where you got your life off the rails. And he said, the day I let that person and called a male friend into his life, the day I let him in my life from that day forward, and he said, I know I'm responsible for my decisions, but I should never have done that. Who you elevate is important. Maybe you don't have a best friend. Can I tell you, find a best friend? Can I tell you something that's true for young people who are godly and mature? This is so true. Most of your good friends should be adults, right? I remember being a mature kid, and when I was 16 years old, immaturity drove me crazy, right? But I found some adult friends that I could be a friend to, and they could be so good for me. Do you know what's crazy about adults? Adults have resources. Adults have connections. Adults have experiences that they can share. There's nothing wrong with saying, okay, my best friend's got to be godly, so if I don't have a young person to choose from, I'm picking an adult, and I'm going to put them in that spot. Potiphar made a great decision by elevating Joseph. Is there a Joseph in your life you could elevate in some area of your life? Look at verse number 5. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And the Bible says in verse number 6, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. Think about that. The Potiphar's life just became a dream. I mean, not only is he not in having to, the Bible says the only thing he had to worry about is, what am I going to eat? Sausage, gravy, biscuit, or something else? Do you know that Martin's was out of eggs today? That Martin's, the restaurant was out of eggs today. It was a horror, right? What am I going to eat? That's the biggest problem he had. Everything else is going smoothly, and according to your Bible, if you believe it, is being blessed because Joseph is there. And I absolutely love to teach this point because it's so true. If you will walk with God, the grace that falls on your life will land on the people that you love and are close to you. Did you catch that? You love your wife, walk with God. You love your kids, walk with God. You love your friends, walk with God. Because the grace that lands on your life, according to the Bible, in 1,000 different places, will land on the people that are close to you. The Bible says God blessed the Egyptian for whose sake? Joseph's sake. That grace of God. We see that in the Bible in David's life. Do you remember that story where God's mad at Solomon and God says, I'm going to take the kingdom from you. But he says, I'm not taking the whole thing from you. For your father's sake. You know what's crazy about that, Brother Don? David's dead. God's looking at David when he says that. Solomon, I'm taking the kingdom from you. How dare you be so rebellious? But I won't take the whole thing from you for your daddy's sake. A little grace gonna fall on you because your daddy was David, right? And I'm not gonna take it from you in your lifetime for your daddy's sake. That's in your Bible. There's another place where the Bible says there was a wicked king, and when he died, they buried him with the kings because his grandfather was a godly man, Jehoshaphat. His grandfather was a godly man, and that grace fell on that grandchild. Walk with God. Can I tell you from scenes in my life, I'm nobody's nobody. Do you hear me when I say this? I love to tell you things that, hey, this is true. This is what the Bible says. This is what happened when I did it. This is what happened when I didn't do it. But I can tell you that there's been a few times in my life where God's called me to walk with him and push all the chips in and see where it was, and I got to see what happened. Can I tell you something that's really cool in my life right now? I have a very remarkable son. My son Christian Busby's not a braggart. He's not in your face, so you might not know this. But Christian is, he just turned 25 years old, and he's a licensed general contractor in Georgia and South Carolina and soon to be Florida. And beyond that, his company sends him all over the place. And he owned a landscaping company when he was in college that employed adult men that supported their family with his landscape company. Remarkable, remarkable kid. Let me tell you how all that came to be. When he, right between his fifth grade and sixth grade year, true story, God said to me, you put your kid in Christian school. Problem was, I made less than $40,000. How am I going to put my kid in Christian school, every school around here, $16,000, $18,000, $10,000, $12,000? How on earth can I do that, God? It's impossible. God, clear as day, said to me at that Impact Conference, you put your kid in Christian school. And it was a week before school started. And I went to three different schools. And when I walked into Grace, it had a different feel to it. And there was a guy there named Chuck Bannister who knew Melita. And he said, hey, how are you guys here? And he told me the tuition. I said, I have no idea. And they said, let's see what God will do. And they began to explain to me. I won't get in the weeds tonight, but there's a program called the Georgia Goal or the SSO where you can divert your tax dollars and you can get your friends to divert your tax dollars. Anyway, you just need to know that much about it. But Grace was kind and they said, because you're in full-time ministry, we will cut your tuition in half. And if you can work this program, we'll send you to we have a speaker coming to explain it. And you just come and we're going to invite the whole school. And we're going to learn about this new tax program. And I decided, hey, I'm going to jump in and I'm going to put my kid at Christian school, even though I truly could not afford it. Do you know something crazy? When I was at Grace many years, and Melita would tell you the truth, they said, Brian, you're the only parent that uses that SSO. There's nobody else that took us up on it. You're the only parent that uses it, so you get all the money. I sent my kids to Christian school for 14 years, and I paid less than $30,000 total. Did you catch what I just said? 14 years, and I did that. But along the way, that guy Chuck Bannister got redeployed. He was in the National Guard, and he got moved, and he had a landscape company. And he said, you know what, I love my customers, and I want to see them doing right. My son worked for him, and he said, you know what, I think I'll give it to you. And he handed him that landscaping company. How many kids in America get a landscape company handed to them? You know why? I cry a little bit. Little grace of God found my son. Amen. We're trying to walk with God. Little grace of God. By the way, my family owns a farm in Franklin, Georgia. My brother, there's a house on that property. It's because Christian Busby had that extra money. When he's in college, $40,000, no problem. I'll jump in. Christian owns 2 acres right by Calvary Children's Home, paid free and clear. He's about to build a first house there. All that God is doing in his life has been a great help to our family. Little grace of God fell on that thing. I think about walking with God and put my kid at Christian school, and I learned that crazy thing about the SSO. Crazy enough that I went to Miss Strange at the tree lot, and I said, I don't know, you got that SSO, and maybe there's a way. If I had not walked down that road in that act of faith, I wouldn't have known that. And the grace of God fell on these kids, and they get to go to North Cobb Christian School. And let me ask you a question. How do you guys feel about Gracie Angel going to Christian school instead of a wild Christian school? You know how I feel? Yay! Woo! Play that video, Randy. I got 3 videos for you tonight. Play a video. This is a cool video. Christian school.
31-14. And Sonoraville North Cobb Christian points a plenty in your face indeed.
Friday
right in
night.
Third quarter, North Cobb quarterback Jaden McCullough going deep to the corner of the end zone. Oakley Padgett.
Who is that? Oakley Padgett, touchdown! Little grace of God fell on the people I love. You follow what I'm saying to you? Little grace of God fell on the people I love. Walk with God. The grace of God has bounced off of Joseph and has landed on these people. And it's precious, it's precious, it's precious. We got to be quick. You ready? Go with me to verse number 6. And we see at the end of it, the Bible tells us, and he was a goodly person and well-favored. Joseph was a good-looking guy. Does anybody remember who his mama was? Do you remember who Joseph's mama was, Miss Darlene? He was Rachel. Who's Rachel? You remember the girl that the guy worked for 7 years? She was so pretty that he said, I'll work for 7 years, Jacob, right? He married that girl, and this was their oldest son, Joseph, and he got his mama's genes. He is a good-looking boy. And it's funny because I thought it would be funny tonight, and I Googled, like, you know, what is a funny thing about pretty girls? I used to have a boy when he'd see a pretty girl, he's at the children's home, he'd say, she'd make a tadpole slap a whale, you know what I mean? He'd say, something's wrong with my phone, your manure number's missing in it. Hey, Jalen, you'll get this one. If you were a triangle, you'd be a cute one. Do you get it? Thank you. Anyway, Joseph is a good-looking guy, and God's blessed him. Verse number 7 said, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, 'Lie with me.'" Yikes. I don't think we're going to get past that tonight. When I was teaching this to the little kids, I used to say, she wanted a big old smooch, right? She wanted a smoochy smooch, but you know, she took this straight in the gutter, right? Now think about this for just a second. Think about the characters in this story. So Joseph is blessed, and God's doing all this great work with him, and God has elevated him, but now here comes a big old trap. Here comes a big old trap. By the way, young people, you have to catch this. The Bible says you have an enemy. Do you believe that? You have an enemy. Dads, the devil wants to subtract, and the devil wants to end all of this goodness that's going on in Joseph's life, and he has sent him a big old trap. But I got to be honest with you. I look at these two characters as we wrap up tonight, and I think they're so unique. I mean, after all, isn't this pretty forward of her? I mean, this is pretty forward. This is not typical, female behavior. I just be honest with you. What does this tell us about Potiphar's wife that she would just blurt out this to him? Hey, come to me, come with me in this sinful, sinful way. She's pretty forward. You know what it tells me about her? She probably was pretty used to getting her way. She probably got told yes a lot in her life that she thought that. Number two, rules didn't apply to her. She's married. You can tell they didn't have an open marriage because Potiphar's good and hot when he hears about this down the road, right? This was not an accepted thing in their marriage. And third of all, you could just see in her life that she's not at all a follower of God. She's just a big old mess. And at the same time, look at Joseph. And I got to tell you, this is the worst time in his life ever to face this temptation. This is the worst time ever because how old is Joseph here? Well, this is what we know, young people. Be a Bible scholar. He's 17 years old when he's sold. He's 28 years old when he interprets the dream of the butler and the baker. And there's two more years before he meets Pharaoh at 30 years old. So it's sometime between there, but he's not been to prison yet. And it took some years for him to be elevated. He is likely in his early 20s. And watch what I'm about to say to you. He's in his early 20s. He's far away from home. He's a slave at a time, at the exact time that all of his brothers got married, and he's forced to be single because he's a slave. This is not a good time for Joseph to be facing this thing. It's absolutely not a good time. Can you agree with that? It is a very difficult time. But you know what Joseph understands? It's a trap. It's a trap. And we'll close with this. Do you know what the secret to traps are? The secret to traps are, there's two components. There's the bait and there is the snare. Oakland, you catching this? There's the bait and there's the snare. If you focus on the bait, you're going to get hit by the snare. Did you follow that? Focus on the bait, you're going to get whacked with the snare. Focus on the snare and the bait loses its appeal. Did you catch that? Focus on the snare and you go, hey, yes, but I got so much to lose. I mean, Joseph literally said, I got all of this going for me. Your husband has elevated me and he's been so good to me and I couldn't do this great wickedness. I can't do this in my life. Here's the thing that I want you to know. You have an enemy, very practical thought. You have an enemy that will tempt you. And then, Presley, after he tempts you, he will try to condemn you for being tempted. It is not a sin to be tempted. It's not. Jesus Christ was tempted in all points. You got to think about this. This is uncomfortable for us to think about, but the Bible says he was tempted in all ways, right? And so he faced this thing. Even though we're told Jesus was not a particularly handsome man, he had a lot of great characteristics. He was a leader. He was kind. He certainly had a huge following. Don't women like people who are leaders and have huge followings? And he was tempted in every way, but he handled his temptation perfectly and pushed it all away because he was aware it is a trap. Sin leads to death. You know something Joseph did wisely? It's in the subsequent verses, 8 and 9 next week. I want you to have it. I'll give you $10 if you memorize them. Did you catch what I just said? $10 if you memorize verses 8 and 9 of this chapter. You ought to have it tattooed to your heart. He says, how could I do this great wickedness? He didn't call it an affair. He didn't say it's an indiscretion. He didn't say it's a slip or, hey, don't hate the sinner, hate the sin. He didn't say any of that. He said, how could I do this great wickedness? Let me ask you a question. We're done. What do you think of when you think of great wickedness? What sin comes to your mind when you think of great wickedness? Go ahead. Lust is you think that's a great wickedness? Jalen, what sin? Murder is a great wickedness. What do you think, Brantley? Stealing, you think? Go ahead. Envy? Go ahead. Lita? You had your hand up, sorry. I gotcha. How about killing Charlie Kirk? That was a pretty great wickedness, wasn't it? Right? You go down. Here's what I want you to believe and understand. What you believe is great wickedness is typically what you see in other people's sins, and you won't do it because you've properly identified it, right? That's great wickedness. I'm not going to do that. The danger is we see sin in our lives, and we begin to make excuses for it, right? I'm a weak person. I'm tempted like everybody else. I got these hormones, yada, yada, yada. Go down the list. He said, I couldn't do this great wickedness. The Bible says she persisted day after day after day, and she said the same thing to him, this great temptation, and yet he was able to persist because he saw it for what it could be. Hey, let me just ask you this question as we finish. When David looks at his dead child, his dead little child, his raped daughter, his murdered son Amnon, and his other son Absalom dead hanging in the trees, don't you think he wishes somebody would walk back to the day he saw Bathsheba and go, trap! Trap! Pay attention to the snare, son. Pay attention to the snare. Don't look at the bait. He would have walked away from that. Achan, whose family was stoned because they brought defeat on the army of Israel when he stole the accursed thing. His whole family and himself were stoned. Trap! Trap! Judas, who betrayed the Lord, got his mind on the money instead on the Savior. Trap! Pay attention to the trap. Pay attention to the trap. Don't minimize sin, right? Everything I said at the beginning, you know what the separation between this lesson is and something Joel Osteen would teach? Joel Osteen would say everything at the beginning, and it would be true, but he would leave out that sin will crush you. Sin leads to death, and it will break you, and it will take so much more away from you. If Joseph goes down this road, maybe he gets killed for it. Truly, maybe he gets killed for it. Certainly, he's out of the running to be the example of Jesus, isn't he? I mean, if he's a picture of Jesus, he's out of the running for that, no matter what it is. Maybe, listen to what I'm saying, and we're done. I've said that three times now. I'll be good for this one. Maybe they get away with it. Maybe he and this girl secretly, every time the boss is around, they get together for a little rendezvous and they get away with it for years. But you know what happens when you let sin creep into your life? You got to pay attention to this. The Lord told me to say this. You get weaker and weaker and weaker. And all that shiny stuff in verses 4, 5, and 6, the Lord was with, the Lord blessed, the Lord made everything to grow. All that begins to go away. And you find yourself in a great big mess and you miss out on the plan of God. You can't jump out of this season in your life with God because it's vital for the next one. I mean, God's trying to build. There's so many things in the Bible you can see. I've ran over on time. God, I love you. I thank you for your goodness to us. I thank you for the opportunity to teach in this church. I thank you for these young people. Thank you for this awesome story that tells us, man, there's so much good if we would just walk with God. And it warns us, boy, we could get in a mess if we don't pay attention to the trap. And thank you for Joseph's example. We beg you, Jesus, be with Charlie Kirk's widow tonight. Be with his children. Show grace and favor. They're not going to make it if you don't. Help them, oh God. Look their way. And be with our church as we seek to grow and as we seek to find a pastor and all of those things that we have to do. God, we so love you and we so need you. I know that there's a family out there that's just perfect for this church. I know there's a man out there that's just perfect for this church. Wherever he's at tonight, God, would you begin to breathe in his spirit? God, would you begin to trouble him a little bit? Would you begin to stir in his soul that he might be ready? And thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine.